We've gathered to praise the name of Jesus, our great Redeemer. We've come to share his story, especially the story of his cross and his resurrection. Yet he was our Savior long before Calvary. He was our hope and our salvation with every step he took and with every word he said on this earth. Not a woman who was welcomed at polite gatherings. On good days, she was simply ignored. On bad days, she was ridiculed and spat upon. But somehow, this woman found her way to Jesus as he was dining at the home of a Pharisee. She was so desperate to reach him that she risked the contempt of the other guests. Even Simon, the host of the party, was saying to himself that Jesus had nothing to do with her, if he only knew what kind of woman she was. But she didn't care what anyone thought or said. She knelt at Jesus' feet in love and repentance. And Jesus responded, as he always does, to those who come to him broken.
She's smiling on the outside, but she's hurting on the inside. It's getting hard just living anymore. And the shadow she has clung to, painful things that she has been through, have left her feeling worthless, Lord. But you change worthless to precious, guilty to forgiven, shattered, and we believe we matter when you change broken into beautiful. Though we can't see how we can stand before you, Lord, and feel valued, priceless and adored. You change worthless into precious, guilty to forgiven, hungry into satisfied, empty into full. You change worthless into precious, guilty to forgiven, hungry into satisfied, empty into full. And all the lies are shattered, and we believe we matter when you change broken into beautiful. Broken into
Passover, a night Jews had celebrated throughout the centuries. Jesus knew that he would become the only Passover lamb they would ever need again. And he gathered with his closest friends. A discussion arose over who was the greatest among them. Jesus demonstrated how to settle the argument by girding himself with a towel like a slave. Then the only begotten Son of the Most High got down on his knees and washed their dusty feet. Behold the Lamb, serving those he loved, preparing them for what they were about to face, breaking the bread and pouring out the wine, just as his body would be broken and his blood spilled for their redemption. Jesus looked ahead to what he knew he would have to suffer. If it is possible, Father, do not make me drink this cup, he cried in anguish. Yet I lay down my will so that your will can be done. Behold the Lamb praying for his disciples and praying for every soul that would be his. Behold him humbly submitting to his Father's plan. Behold him preparing to glorify God as only he could. And deserted. He was beaten and humiliated and wrongly accused. Throughout the night, he was taken from one unjust trial to another. He stood before Annas, Caiaphas, Pilate, Herod, and Pilate again. He was charged with insurrection, treason, and blasphemy. In every case, he was found to be innocent. Yet the crowd and their leaders would not be satisfied until a sentence of death was pronounced. Behold the Lamb, the one who spoke worlds into existence, standing silently as they mocked his deity, rejected his love, and sneered at his sovereignty.
Amen.
his life from him. He could have stopped the painful parade up Calvary with a word, but he never uttered it. Instead, he opened his arms to the cross. He opened his hands to the nails, and he allowed himself to be crucified. Behold the Lamb, surrendering his life, bearing our sin, absorbing the wrath of God in our place, and finally dying for our atonement. Jesus had cried, "It is finished," in his last moments on the cross, and now it was. In his death, the sacrifice had been made. The debt had been satisfied. Our redemption had been secured. Jesus dead, and his body placed in a borrowed tomb to stay, the story would have been tragic. But early on Sunday morning, something happened that changed everything. The women who had come to anoint his body found the stone rolled away. Peter and John discovered the tomb empty. Mary came face to face with the risen Lord in the garden. The day was filled with wonder and excitement, and their sorrow was transformed into joy with the incredible news.
Yeah.
Tell me this, the Apostle Paul wrote, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection? If there's no resurrection, then Christ hasn't been raised either. And if Christ hasn't been raised, all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. If Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you're still guilty of your sins. If our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. After the resurrection, the early disciples visited the empty tomb. They saw Jesus alive. They talked to him, touched his wounds, and ate with him. All who have followed him since have had the evidence of eyewitness testimony. But far better, each of us has a personal encounter with the living Christ. Christ has been raised. Our hope is real. Our faith with him is certain. We know our Redeemer lives.
I know my Redeemer lives, and and we will stand with him and he will stand with us. That is so exciting to catch that. He is not here, for he is risen. We are in a series here on this song, Glorious Day, and we started out with Living, He Loved Me, and it's wonderful to catch that one day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he, word became flesh, and the light shined among us, his glory revealed, living, is that right? He loved me. And last week's sermon was on dying. He saved me. It says one day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on the tree, suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins. My Redeemer is he. Hands that healed nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. This is the rock that I cherish the most. I picked up this rock at Calvary. It's called Gordon's Calvary. Andrew and I run over to the bottom of Calvary right now. There is a bus stop there at the bottom of Calvary. On top of it is a Muslim cemetery today. They have no regard for it, but that is Gordon's Calvary right outside Jerusalem. And Andrew and I run over there and picked up a rock. It didn't cost me anything. I just stole it. But it's a piece of rock from over there. And this is where Jesus died. Amen? I appreciate this rock. I enjoy looking at it and realize that he died for me. And the old rugged cross there. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. This morning is rising. He justified freely forever. This is the best part. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now he's ascended, my Lord, evermore. Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. He's rising from rising again. Rising, he justified freely forever. And that is what it's all about. Let me just put a plug in for next Sunday. Next Sunday I finish the sermon. It's the fourth stanza of the song. It says, he's coming back. He's coming back. You gotta come back next Sunday because Jesus is coming back. And very, very important. Just quickly here. I just want you to see from Romans. I'm going to have all the verses up. We have visitors here, so when we have visitors, usually I put the verses up. And I just want you to flow with me through the book of Romans here. Just quickly, the Savior is born, and all the truth that's given in the book of Romans is tremendous. Romans 3, verse 10, I've just selected them here. It says, as the Scripture says, and it's a quote, a direct quote from Psalm 14 and 53. It says, no one is righteous. No, not what? And we're all sinners. Verse 17, they don't know where to find peace. Do we have a world that has no peace today? Oh, we're seeing it all the time, from all the way over to North Korea to all around the world. No peace. Verse 18, it says, they have no fear of God at all. I trust you have fear of God. That's why you're here. I fear God. My only hope of heaven is the resurrection. And it says in verse 19, it says, the entire world is guilty before God. They need a Savior. They have a Savior. Is that right? We have a Savior. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans 5, 12. Why do we need a Savior? Why are we not righteous? Why do we have no peace? Why don't we fear God? Why are we guilty? Right here it is. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone, what? Sinned. Verse 17. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of righteousness for all who receive it will live. That's this morning's word. Risen. He's alive. In triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. We have salvation through Him. We're sinners. We're on our way to hell. Without Jesus, we're lost. But with Him, we're saved. Rising, He justified. The word justified means declaring us just as if we never sinned. And you realize, justified freely, it is freely given. It cost Him His life, but it's free to us. Make certain that you know that salvation is costly to Him. Free to us, grace. Cost Him His life forever. I love that emphasis. Rising, He justified freely forever. Romans 3:22, look at it with me. It says, we are made righteous with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who they are. Verse 24, yet God, in His grace, freely makes us right. That's where we get the word redeemed. We're purchased back, make us right. We're enemies. Now we're right with God. We were not at peace with God. Now we're at peace with God. We are guilty sinners deserving to death and deserving hell, and He paid our hell and paid our debt, and we're redeemed, we're bought back. We as free people, we don't understand that, but if we were people in Africa or we were people in some of the areas of the world where there's just no peace and you've lost your freedom, I pick up a piece of garment today and it said made in Vietnam. You know, that really moved me, because in my day, the war was where? In Vietnam, okay? And those people that live in Vietnam now that make the garments there, they had lost all their freedom, and now they have freedom back. And it's amazing to realize, wow, they probably appreciate it more than we do. And I want you to catch that you're a sinner. You were guilty. You were enemies with God, separated from God. And He bought you back. He redeemed you. And you are right relation with Him. Now you can fellowship. Now you can know Him. Now you can enjoy Him. Now you can worship Him, because you are in fellowship with Him because of what Jesus did on Calvary, and He arose from the grave. It's wonderful. It says, verse 24, yet God in His grace freely makes us right, redeemed. In His sight, He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty of our sins. Verse 25, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. He died. Wow. Romans chapter 5, look at it. It says, but God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Verse 9, and since we have been made right, justified, declared righteous, in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. We won't have to go to hell, punished in hell, condemned. Verse 10, for since our friendship, that's at peace with God, we're right at God, we're restored with God, was restored by the death of His Son while we were still His enemies. Catch all those words, enemies. We were separated, the penalty of death, made right with death, condemned. Now we're friends of God. We're not enemies anymore. We will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. Risen, He justified freely forever. We will be saved by the life of His Son. Verse 11, so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ hath made us friends of God. That's where we get the word atonement. It's paid. The punishment is paid. We're atoned for. It's wonderful. He did it. Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, justified, here it is, we have peace with God. Sin separated us. Sin made us enemies. Something has to happen for that to be done away with, for us to have right relationship with God, peace with God. We have to be forgiven. We have to have our sins punished, taken care of, and made right. And it says, now we have peace with God. Isn't it wonderful to have peace? Isn't it wonderful to have peace? Ron Lee and I were driving out of the parking lot Friday night, and our lights were on. We partied here at church for a while, 8 o'clock. No. And we were pulling out of the parking lot. It was a sad, sad story. As we pulled out of the parking lot here, our lights went across, and a car was coming down, and a little rabbit run and hit the tires of the car and rolled over. I won't give any examples, but it was jerking badly, laying on the ground of the highway. We felt terrible watching this little rabbit die. That moves you, doesn't it? I don't like it. I didn't like it. It just hit me. If a person doesn't know Jesus, they're going to die forever in hell. That should move you. More so than seeing a little bunny get hit by the tires and it was just flopping around. It was sad. People without Jesus, they're not at peace with God. They're not in right relationship with God. They bear their own sins. They do not have the friend of God. That's why we must be saved. It is wonderful. We have peace with God, chapter 5, verse 1, because of what Christ Jesus, our Lord, has done for us. Because our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege called grace, where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing His glory in heaven. We stand on it, we believe, we know, and we're confident, and we're rejoicing. I trust you're there. That's what Easter's all about. I love that. Undeserved privilege, grace. We stand confident, joyfully, looking forward to sharing heaven with Jesus, all of His grace, because of what Jesus did on Calvary. He died, He was buried, He's alive. And my Redeemer lives. It's wonderful. To sum it all up, in Romans chapter 4, verse 24, it says, God will count us righteous if we believe in Him. Believe. Give our life to Him. The one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, He was handed over to die because of our sins, and He was raised to life to make us right with God. Justification. That we are declared forgiven, free, saved. And He says it was all because of Him. And I can't do it myself. I can't save myself. I can just trust Him. I can believe Him. That's Easter story. And I trust you have it in your life, because to have it is to have life. Okay. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Look at it with me. We've already hit this verse earlier. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be what? Say. It's a Bible word. Bible word. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Amen. We live in America, and many people are religious. They know the Easter story. But it's one thing to know the facts of the Easter story, and it's another thing to know the life of the Easter story. Amen?
Amen.
If you're not saved here this morning, if you're not sure you're a Christian, you can be saved right here. We had a person saved last Sunday, and you can be saved. You can believe. You can repent of your sins and trust Jesus as your Savior, and you have life. You're forgiven. You're free. Nothing like it. If you're not sure you're saved, get saved today.
Amen.
Christian, it's easy to know the Christmas story, to have it in your head, and to know it for a long time, and then for it just to become something that's taken for granted. Huh? It doesn't get too far in the Sunday afternoon. It doesn't make it to Monday too much. And if it makes it to Monday, but Tuesday, you're still in the frustration of life and the fuss and the fume, and you forgot the joy and the continuous, and there we stand in our faith. We did a lot yesterday at work day here. Had a good number of people at work day. Friday, we had the Good Friday service. I tried to keep my mind on his death. I tried to think at 9 o'clock he went on the cross. Is that right? At noon it got dark. It's what's called darkness. It's called Good Friday only because of the salvation. It was dark, it was gloomy, it was storming, he was dying. Only thing good about it, he saved us.
Amen.
And then at 3 o'clock he hollers, "It is finished!" And at 3 o'clock I tried to look at the clock and he saves me. And then Friday night and Saturday the disciples are lost. Peter's weeping. Peter's, "Where are you?" I love the scene from Jesus of Nazareth where Peter just screams. He's, "Where are you, Lord? I denied you. You're dead." And then on Sunday morning, huh? This morning I was up before the sunrise. God woke me up at 4 o'clock. I don't like to wake up at 4 o'clock. But God was talking to me. And then about 5 o'clock, all the birds started talking. Beautiful, beautiful. And I realized, he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. I want you every morning to make it Easter. And live it. He's alive. If I can trust him to take me to heaven when I die, I can trust him to let me have life right now. I was just talking to one of our men, and the thing didn't go through, and it was kind of bad, and he trusted God. He said, "God, if you have a no in my life, you're going to have a yes, and you're going to have a better yes." And he trusted God, and God brought him another thing around, and it's better.
Amen.
And that's he lives. It's just not something we believe for when we die. It's something you believe every day. You go to school with it. You go to work with it. You go to family events with it. You go to baseball games with it. Is that right? He's alive. Christian, rededicate your life to the living Savior. Unbeliever, man, believe. Believe. Get it in your life. Let it live. He's alive. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I trust you know Jesus as your Savior. We're going to sing a song here, our closing song, my favorite hymn. He lives. He lives. I know He lives. He lives in me. I trust you know that. Christian, get fired up for God. Rededicate yourself to living Easter every day. If you're not sure you're saved here this morning, say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Pray for me. I'd love to pray for you. We got to pray for someone last week. What about you? Don't leave here without knowing for sure that your Redeemer lives. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Not a bad person. Pretty good person. But I'm not sure that if Jesus would come right now or I would die, I'd go to heaven. I'm just not sure. Pray for me, preacher. Everybody's heads bowed, eyes closed, just me, you, and God. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Can I pray with you? Anybody? Anybody? Side wings, balcony, main floor. If you're not sure, don't leave. Talk to one of us. Talk to somebody right beside of you. There's a lot of people to talk to you. Christian. He lives. It's just not a Sunday thing. It's just not an Easter thing. He lives. Let it come alive.